You know, I think one of the great statements in Scripture is a Scripture that you all heard from the reading of the book of Job. And the statement was made by the wife of Job. And do you remember what she said? She said this to her husband, "Curse God and die." And you know, can't you just feel the love in those words? She had seen her husband suffer so terribly for so long. Festering boils, open sores, an ugly sight. She had seen her husband suffer for so long, and she was saying, "Look, it's breaking my heart to see you suffer like this. If it takes cursing to die, cursing God for you to die, and this ends for you, all this pain and suffering ends for you, then do it." I don't think she was in any way, shape or form trying to say, "Well, I've had enough of you, darling, get out." I can sense the love and the concern and the care for a husband in that. And Job's response is what's really so special, because his response was one that was really tested by her statement. Curse God and die. His faith was tested. But also, his faith was tested by his own suffering that he had to go through. But even though it was tested both by her and by his suffering, he refused. He refused to curse God. He remained faithful to God. I only pray that no matter what testing comes our way, that we have the faith of Job to stand firm in our faith in our God no matter what. And I pray that in this time of meditation, our faith will be strengthened so that we can remain faithful to God in times of testing too. Hebrews actually asks the question, what is man? But for the sake of being politically correct and socially acceptable, I'm going to say, who am I? Who are you? Who are any of us? Who are any of us that God should waste any time giving us a moment's thought? Who are any of us that God should waste any of his time caring two hoots about us or the life we live? Who of any of us that God should think at all about us or care at all or at all for us? Who do we think we are? Who are we? Do you want to know who we are? We're a dirty bottle of water is who we are. And that's by our own doing. As I said to the children, God never meant it to be this way. But by our own doing, we've brought this life on ourselves, you and I. All the suffering we've brought on ourselves, all the pain, all that's wrong, all the disasters, all the abuse, everything we've brought on ourselves because of our act of disobedience. And don't think I'm just talking about Adam and Eve. Yeah, they started the whole thing. The rot set in when they disobeyed God. But we can't stand back and say, hey, we just can't help it. They did it and we've just inherited their sin. It's not the way it works. Because God holds each and every one of us accountable for our own words, our own actions, our own behaviours and our own attitudes. And there is no escape clause with God. So who are we meant to be? We got no idea who we're meant to be. We lost that. We got no idea who we once were because of our sin. Remember, God said, don't do it or else. Well, they went ahead and did it and they copped the or else. That's what happened. And the or else was they fell from the grace and the favour of God. And more than that, they were then exiled from God's garden paradise. And more than that, they had to suffer in this world. Everything that they did and everything that we do. That was with the or else. They used to walk with God in the garden, you know, and look upon his face, and they used to talk together, all gone. All out the window because of their sin. And that's who they had become. So if you want to know who you are, then have a really good look. I know who we were meant to be. The reading in Hebrews tells us who we were meant to be. It tells us who you were meant to be. It starts by saying you were meant to be a creature of God's special favour. That's who we're meant to be. Creatures of God's special favour. Like I said, of all that he created, he favoured us with his visible presence. He favoured us with a walk through paradise together. He favoured us with talking to us like friends talk to each other. Of all the creatures, we were the most favoured. But not only were we the most favoured, we were the most privileged, because he created us little lower than the angels in heaven. That's who we were meant to be. Not only most favoured by God, but most privileged. And not only most privileged, but we were also created with divine dignity. As it says in Hebrews, we were crowned with glory and honour, you and I, way back before we even existed. That's who we're meant to be. Crowned with glory, and not only that, we were given a special position, a favoured position by God in creation, because God put all things he created under our feet, under our control, under our rule, to care for as he himself would care for all things in this creation. And we've done a really good job of that, haven't we? Like fun. What have we become, people? We've become people who have turned our backs on God's favour. Remember what Adam and Eve did in the garden when God come walking in the cool of the day? They ran and they hid. We've been doing it ever since. Turned our back on God, running from him, hiding from him. As if that's going to work, but we try anyway. And then what about the privilege? We abused the privilege that God has given to us. And we did the same. We lost our dignity, our divinely created dignity. That's gone. And we've certainly abused our position that God created us to fill in this world. So look at what we've become. But you know what? God still loves you more than you will ever know. Even though we brought all this on ourselves, even though we had become like that dirty bottle of water, good for nothing, God never stopped loving you. He never stopped loving me. So who we are is people who were always loved by God no matter what. And you know what he did in his love? He became us. Imagine that. Almighty God, the supreme ruler of heaven and earth, become like us. Because in his love for us, the Father sent his Son Jesus to take on our humanity and all that our humanity is. And in the end, that means our sin. That means our guilt. He took the whole lot on himself. And in doing so, he did for us what nobody else can do. Nobody else on this earth can do for you what Jesus has done for you. None of the angels or beings in heaven can do for you what Jesus has done for you or for me. Because he's taken that all on himself. When he took on our humanity, all our suffering, all our pain, all our guilt. And the Bible even goes as far to say, and he became sin for us. He took on everything that's dirty about us, everything that is polluted about us. He took it all on himself. And then he did for us what I hope none of us will ever have to go through. He suffered for us. And I hope you never need to. I hope I never need to suffer what he suffered. Because what he suffered was the full wrath, anger, and fury of Almighty God. Anger against my sin, your sin, and the sin of the whole world. And he suffered that. And in suffering that, he suffered the absolute forsakenness and abandonment by his Father in heaven. And I pray none of us here ever suffer that one. He suffered the full extent of the Father's punishment for the guilt of our sin. And then he suffered hell, a place of eternal torment, forever cut off from the presence of God. He suffered all that so that you don't need to, so that I don't need to. And only he has made it possible that we don't have to. And yet God knew that that wasn't enough. God knew that all the suffering and agony and the pain and the death of Jesus wasn't enough. So he had to send his Spirit. And his Spirit has come upon us. His Spirit of power and of truth. His Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And it was given to you. It was poured out to you in your baptism. Because in your baptism, you were drowned. In your baptism, you were put to death. But from the waters of the baptism, you were raised up. And when you were raised up out of the waters of the baptism, you were pure. You were cleansed, made whiter than the falling snow. Because in the waters of the baptism, you received power from on high. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit to bring you to a living faith in Jesus Christ. And it's that living faith in Jesus Christ that purifies us, that makes us clean, that makes us whiter than snow. Because without that living faith, we remain in our old, dirty, polluted self. See, God's done it all, everything. So I stand here and I ask you, who are you? And what I see before me is I see people purified because of your living faith in Jesus Christ, but I do not yet see you perfected. Sorry, some of you, if that causes you offence, but you're not perfect. You're looking at... No, you're not. But I do see people purified. I do see people cleansed, not yet perfected. I see people reborn, recreated, renewed, but not yet complete. Not yet completed. Because you all have a living faith in Jesus Christ. Why else would you be here if that wasn't so? So it is with joy I come to this little family here in Mount Barker. I thought of every other place I'd ever been just then in Mount Barker. To join with people like you, purified, cleansed. But what is to come? What is to come, people? Perfection is to come. Completeness is to come. Because the reading of Hebrews says he is our pioneer. He has opened up the way to perfection for all of us, and none of us need miss out on that. Imagine one day you're going to see yourself as you were really meant to be, as you were created to be, perfect. But then you'll see me in the same light, perfect. Jesus has paved the way for us to be made complete again, because he's opened the way back to God's paradise garden. And there, finally, his work will have been perfected in us. His work would have been completed in us, and we will be everything we are meant to be then. So all as we're meant to be now is purified. And that's done. You all come before God today and said, all right, I was washed clean in the waters of the baptism. All right, you purified me. But then, you know, like that little guy, Pigpen, you all know who Pigpen is. You get out of the water of baptism, and what happens? The sin comes along and sticks again. Something happens. It's all wrong. We come before God and we say, sorry, and what does God say? You are forgiven. You are forgiven. The most wonderful words you will ever hear. You are forgiven. You are purified. You are washed clean. You are made whiter than snow. And so God is now saying, and you're my family again. Yes, everything went wrong back then, but because of your living faith in Jesus, everything is right again. Everything is at peace. Everything is restored. And you bring joy and happiness to the heart of God in heaven and a smile to his face. But if there's one thing we need to learn from all this, whenever things go wrong in our relationships with each other, God is saying, purify them, cleanse them, make them white as snow. And it is simply saying, I forgive you. Imagine how much God has forgiven us to purify our relationship with him. And we pray that Lord's Prayer, and you pray it often enough. And what do we say? And forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation, don't we? I missed the line. And I wonder if we do that in our own lives. That line is, as we forgive those who sin against us. Because every time we forgive, we're actually purifying our relationships with each other. We're cleansing our relationships with each other. And the most amazing thing is Scripture says, we are making our relationships with each other holy and sacred. The amazing power we have because we have been gifted with power from on high to actually cleanse our relationship with each other and make them holy and sacred. And for all this, I wonder if there is a fitting response to everything that our God in his love has done for us in both Jesus Christ and the work of his Spirit in us. I think there's only one fitting response. But you all heard it, didn't you? Or do you want me to remind you what it is? I'll remind you what it is. The only fitting response to all this at the end is, again, a quote from Scripture. I will proclaim your name among my brothers and sisters. What greater response is there than to proclaim the name of Jesus to our brothers and sisters, to one another, to speak the name of Jesus to one another? But it goes on to say, and I will praise you among the assembly of your people. Isn't that why you're here in God's family in Mount Barker, to assemble together to praise the name of God, to praise the name of Jesus for purifying us, for cleansing our relationship with our Father in heaven, to opening up the way back into the garden paradise that God has created, there to walk hand in hand with our God, talking to him as friends talk to one another. And who knows, along the way since forever, you might catch up with me. And we'll walk hand to hand together in the garden as friends do. Because there we will finally be perfectly everything we are meant to be. But it has started right here and right now. So we are all we are meant to be right now, here at this time in God's world in Mount Barker. Praise God for